Now, Mrs. Swain, how many years did you teach?
About 3.
You must have had a long way to go sometime in winter time to reach the school from the house where you'd be boarding at.
Just at one school, and I went 3.5 miles on horseback.
Was there ever any time there was a blizzard and you were forced to over spend the night in the school?
No, I was fortunate enough to not be at school when it blizzarded.
But riding to school every day, 3.5 miles, it must have been some awful cold days, eh?
Oh, yes, and we didn't have the kind of clothes that they wear nowadays to keep warm.
And if any of the children would be sick after you live on the farm here, how many miles would you have to go to get a doctor?
Well, for a number of years there was a doctor in Piapot, but after that it was Maple Creek, so that would be 35 miles.
35 miles, and you'd have to go use a car in those days?
Well, when we got one, a team, and go to town and take the train most times if...
At Piapot?
Yes.
Well, there was another thing too. I've heard that you were quite a shot with a .22 rifle. How about telling us about some of the things that you killed?
That was just luck.
magpies and partridge, I believe.
Well, a prairie chicken. But yeah. I shot a few magpies and a gopher or two and some rabbits.
Well, I bet you that you never had the time to be lonely or anything on the farm here.
Well, no, not really, until now they're just the two of us alone.
And of course, in winter time, you live in town. It's a
well, yes.
You have this. This has to be, I guess. There'd be no sense living all by yourself on the farm in winter time.
No, not now.
Mr. Swain, there's one thing about lately. You went and played at a golden wedding, but I'd like to hear more about this.
Yeah, well, that was, I think, quite a, what do you call it, a record, I would say, because I played at their wedding 50 years before. That's 3 years ago I played at their anniversary, you see, 3 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
At their anniversary, golden wedding anniversary. Well, I played at their wedding dance 50 years before that.
I'm just going to ask, did you play some of the same tunes that you played 50 years before?
I did for them, yeah.
This would have been something.
Yeah.
What were the name of those people?
Ross Duncan. See, Lucy McPhee was her maiden name, you see, and they're old friends of ours, and they moved in here to the Garden Head area, and they've been ranching there and farming ever since. Well, they came here in 1902 they came to Saskatchewan, Saskatchewan from Montana.
Will you give us a tune, one of the old time tune? What would be the name of the tune?
This one, I call it the Alex Special, and it's just...
Just one moment, please, sir. Now, Mr. Swain, if you kindly would...
Yeah, well, this is going to be a very rusty version of what I used to do when I was playing for dances, but I'll give you just a little sample of it.
Mr. Swain, what's going to be the name of the next tune?
Well, I guess I'll play the Ranger's Waltz.
Ranger Waltz, eh? Thank you.
Mom and Dad's popular hit, I guess, this. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Swain.
This is Henri de Tourneau in Paiapod, Saskatchewan, interviewing Mr. Nels Brunel, well-known cowboy, homesteader, and I should say brongbuster. How old are you, Mr. Brunel?
89.
Where were you born?
I was born in Colchester County, Nova Scotia.
And what time did you come here, and what year?
I come here in 1898.
So you knew all about the Saskatchewan Coal and Agricultural Company. Did you work for them at the very beginning?
No.
What did you do when you first came here? Ironed out as a ranch hand or what?
I worked in a blacksmith shop in Lethbridge.
And when did you come to Paiapod?
I came to Paiapod in 1905.
And did you take a homestead?
Yes, I took a homestead out here on the bench. I was the first man to homestead on top of the bench out south here.
There is... Just one moment, please, sir. Now, Mr. Brunel, how long did you stay on the homestead, or did you start working on the ranches right away?
Well, I stayed in the homestead about 2 years, and then I started working for Gordon Ironsides.
They were the owners then of the 76, eh?
Yeah.
What did you do, break horses, or...?
I broke horses and rode ship cattle and...
Do you remember how many head of cattle they would have in those days?
Gordon Ironsides, they run about 8,000 head here and at White Mud, at Crane Lake, and then they had a big ranch at Sand Lake Field. That's down on the White Mud, east of Shonovan.
This is what they call the 70-mile lease, I believe.
Yes, 70-mile lease. Finally, T.B. Long went down there. But when I, there was Doc Corrigan was foreman when I worked here at the 76. I used to go down, I used to trail cattle back there down to the White Mud every spring. They'd winter them here and then take them down in the spring to the White Mud.
How many sheep they had in those days, if they had any?
Oh, they run a few sheep here.
Were you working for them when they tried to have a dairy farm? They had this big barn built along the highway here, the 76 Dairy?
Yeah, I was working for them.
And they didn't make much money out of that?
No, they didn't make that, did nothing. They never done nothing at farming when they first started the farm.
Were you there when they broke the long pasture? When they broke that land on the, what they call the long, the north pasture, was it? Or no, the long pasture. There was a long field along the highway, and this was broken at one time.
Well, it was partly, that was the early years. That was from the Gordon, when Canadian Land and Ranching Company, when they first started, they had 100 men working there at one time. Old Robert Needham was foreman.
Has Mr. Needham gone? Is he dead now?
He's dead quite a few years.
You'd be staying on your homestead, and when times were slack, you'd go and work for the ranchers.
Yeah.
Especially breaking horses.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Mostly breaking horses.
You knew all of those people, like Mr. Ferris. Can you tell us anything about Mr. Ferris?
Mr. Ferris is one of the greatest men that Western Canada ever knowed at one time. But he got old, and he had a lot of money, and he went broke trying to keep the Gordon Ironsides going, but it was too big, he couldn't do it. Old man Ferris died broke.
I remember in 1928, they still had his saddle over at the 76, a silver-mounted saddle with his name engraved on it.
Yeah.
And his lariat, which was braided, was horsehair braided, both white and black, you know, in two colors. Now, those things are gone today. Nobody seems to know where they went, you know.
No, I don't know.
Did you, you never did any cattle drive for a long distance, did you?
Quite a bit.
You did that. Where would you take the cattle, from here to where, or from where to here?
Well, I'd take them from here down to 50 Mile. That's east of Shaunavon. And they'd summer there, and then we'd bring them back in the fall here to winter. Done that for quite a few years.
How long would you be on the trail?
Oh, hell, sometimes we'd be on the trail 2 weeks.
How many men?
Well, we'd have all the way from 10 to 20 men.
How many ponies per string, for each man?
8.
And you had your own cook car, your cooking?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Good food?
Sure, no better.
How many miles would you travel a day?
Oh, well, it all depends. Sometimes we'd travel 8, 10. We had a moved a big string of cows.
Did you, when you were on night duty, you'd work about a two-hour shift at night, eh?
Yeah.
Did you do any singing?
Oh, yes.
Yesterday in East End, Mr. Stern was telling me about a foreman that couldn't sing at all, but he used to keep time with his feet in the stirrup and said, and sing about his sister walking like that, you know?
Yeah.
I guess some didn't have any voice at all, but still they had to make some kind of a noise.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure.
Well, you were here the winter of the big snow, that would be 1906-07, eh?
6 and 7, I was in Maple Creek, the hard winter. I was living out here on the bench, and I went into Maple Creek. The snow got so high, just had a little bunch of horses. And I went into Maple Creek, took me 2 days. The snow was about 4 feet deep, and about 35 to 60 below zero. And I got into Maple Creek one night. I put my horse in Bill Curley's barn, and I started to walk up to the hotel. Well, I got up to a place they called the Doghouse. It was a gambling joint. And I went in. Well, I knew a lot of the fellows that was in there. And I never did play poker very much, but I knew the game. And George Coulter was in there, an old lender from Battle Creek, and 3 or 4 other old fellows. And George Coulter said, sit down, Bunnell. Well, I waited a little while, and I had $15 in my pocket. It's all the money I had in my pocket, and I bought $15 worth of chips. Well, I started to play poker. Well, I got awful lucky. Oh, gosh, I got lucky. The next morning when I quit, I had a little over $300. And I went up to the hotel and got a room, and I went up and I counted this money, and I had a little over $300. Well, I went down, and I give Norman Robinson $90 for 3 months' board. You could get board and room for 3 months at that time. And I give him $90. Then the next morning, I went down to the Bill Curley's livery barn, and I give him $45 for 3 months for my saddle horse. And I stayed there 3 months.
That hard winter.
That's the hard winter of 1906 and 1907.
For you, it was very good.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have any stock back on your? Have any stock?
I had some horses, but they done all right.
I heard that they had in January it rained, and there was a thick crust, but it was all right for the horses.
Yeah. Well, the horses pawed the.
Did you work for the 76 the following spring? Apparently they took quite a ride. They lost over 6,000 heads.
Oh, God, I hadn't worked for the 76 at that time. Working for the 76 was 1908.
What was the pay in those days?
$40 a month.
There's another thing I wanted to ask you. There's quite a few boys from southwestern Saskatchewan here when the First World War started that were hired to break horses for the army. You were one of them, I believe.
I was. The time of Trim Dent bought horses to go to South Africa. I turned them in. I was working for William Franklin, and I turned his horses in to go to South Africa. They took a lot of horses to South Africa.
How much did they used to pay you in that was in, what year would that be? In 1890 what?
1892 and 93.
93, eh? And how much money would they pay you to break horses for the army in those days?
Oh, it all depends. Sometimes they'd pay you by the head and sometimes they'd just hire you by the month.
And then in 1914 you did quite a bit of breaking too, eh? The First World War.
Yeah.
How many of you boys from around Paiport were working there then?
Oh, there wasn't many.
Not very many.
There was no Paiport then.
No.
No.
But you were one that was hired.
Yeah, yeah.
And were you on contract or?
No. Just hired by the month.
And I remember in the old Raymond Hotel, long time ago, there used to be pictures of those boys that broke the horses for the army, and I believe you were one of them, weren't you?
I might have been, I don't know.
But you remember those pictures, they were right by the desk when you'd come into the hotel, you know?
Yeah.
What was the name of the lady that operated the hotel in 1928? She was a widow, I believe.
Mrs. Lou Richardson.
That's it, yeah, Mrs. Richardson. Paiport has changed quite a bit since then.
Oh, hell yeah.
When you broke horses for the army, did you have to break them for a few days or just put the saddle on them and break them and then they were turned over?
We just broke as good as we could.
Yeah.
Some of them wasn't broke very good and some of them was broke good.
It was up to the soldier.
Yeah.
If he was brought up in a city, he would have a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you call this regiment then that was mounted? Was this the Saskatchewan Rifle or the South Saskatchewan or what? You know what the name of those regiments were?
Well, the
Cavalry Regiment?
Yes, they were. What the devil.
you forgot the name,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah.
Well, maybe they were the Saskatchewan Mounted Rifles, eh?
Well, I was never with the Saskatchewan Mounted Rifles. But I was round where they was a lot.
Yeah.
I was almost on my own hook. I never did join the army.
You just broke horses for them.
Yeah.
There's a thing that I'd like to ask of you. Your first home that you had on your homestead, did you build it yourself?
Yes.
Was it built of logs?
Logs.
Yeah.
Poplar
logs, I gather?
Well, I've got to cut the logs out of the bush out here on Bear Creek.
What was the wildlife like in those days? There were no bears around here, were they?
Oh, no.
A few pronghorns and...
There was a few timber wolves. Timber wolves was bad.
Well, in those days, your land wasn't fenced, was it?
No.
And if you had any crop and a huge herd from the 76 would wander in, what would happen to your crop? You had to keep an eye on this, I suppose.
Yeah.
And would the company pay for any damage?
Oh, no, no.
They wouldn't, eh? You've heard of all the mistake the first company made when they tried to fire me.
I say so. I say.
Using water cart to irrigate the land.
Yeah, old Springett. Springett was manager for the Canadian Land and Ranching Company. And then old John Seaton worked for the 76 for years and years. Well, he worked for Gordon Ironsides after Gordon Ironsides bought it from Canadian Land and Ranch Company. Old John Seaton still worked there.
In the old blacksmith shop on the ranch in the 1920s, they had a lot of old of old branding irons. I remember one, it was called Tanglefoot. The Tanglefoot brand. You don't know whose brand that was, eh?
Tanglefoot?
Yeah.
No, Jules Bethel had Crowfoot.
But this was Tanglefoot. And there was another one, Wagon Rudd.
Oh, yeah.
You knew this,
yeah,
the one.
Yeah.
Who owned this brand, do you know?
At Rush Lake.
Oh, this was the Rush Lake brand.
Yeah.
And this was one another of the outfit owned by Gordon Ironside and Fierce.
Yeah.
There were some old iron apparently that, and they had the. Do you remember the old Canadian Colonization Company brand? This was C and a small hole with a bar. This was Canadian Agricultural Colonization and Coal Company.
Yeah.
It's quite a brand, but I don't know if they use this on their machinery.
No, they never used that.
Not on the cattle?
No.
No. Because it was about this long, you know.
Sure.
But I figured maybe they stem their wagons and stuff like that, you know, with
sure.
this.
Yeah.
And what was the hardest time you ever had on your homestead?
Well, I mean,
the hardest year.
1906 and 7 was the hardest winter that I ever seen. There was an awful lot. The dew here at Rush at Crane Lake, the dew started in there with 1,200 head of cattle, and he lost them all. And the V outfit north of Maple Creek had about 1,500 head of cattle, and the first storm they drifted north onto the Saskatchewan River, and they never did get them back. They lost them, and they had all kinds of hay. They had lots of hay, but they never did get them cattle back. The snow was too deep.
And I believe some of the sheep rancher lost heavily, eh?
Oh, yes. George Cougar lost everything. And oh, there was a lot of them. Bill Martin was a sheep rancher out north here in the Big Sand Hills. He lost a lot of sheep. And Ivy Wilson, north of Maple Creek, had lost a lot of sheep.
Did you get married here in Paiput?
Get what?
Married. I say you got married, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
Here in Paiput or Maple Creek?
Maple Creek.
Yeah.
I got married in 1910.
Have you any family?
I got three boys.
They don't live around here.
One lives in Toronto, and the other has a big sheep ranch north, a Surf Current. And the other fellow lives at Randale, B.C.
So there is one rancher in the family.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to thank you, sir, and it's been most pleasant. This is going to the archives, you know. Mr. Brunel will now tell about his wife when she came here. Do you remember the year, sir?
Yes. She come here in 1910. And come trailed into Maple Creek from Red Cloud, Nebraska. And she lived in Maple Creek one winter. And then she moved out to East End, and they bought a plate of a little ranch out there at South Fork, just east of East End. And that's where I married her, at East End.
When they trailed from Nebraska, did they bring any cattle with them?
No, they just bought a few head of horses.
And they came by covered wagon, I gather.
Yeah.
Have you an idea how long it took to make the trip?
Oh, no. It'd take about 2 months to make the trip.
This would have been some trip, eh?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Mr. Brunel, I thank you very much. This has been most interesting. There are many tales about the old ranching country. When I first came to Paiput in 1928 to work on the 7-6 ranch. I should explain that I worked at the ranch in 28, 29 and 1930. This is an experience that I never forgot. The first year our foreman was Ole Sustead, and the second and third year our foreman was Jack Stewart.
Now, Jack Stewart was a real cowboy. He had been a cowboy on the big ranches in Mexico for many years, and eventually had come back to his hometown where he was born, his native Paiute. And then he was in charge of the Rush Lake Ranch for quite a few years, and when they sold out to some Mennonite farmer, it was all divided, he came back to Paiute and took over the 76 as foreman. In those days, the 76 had about 900 head of cattle, 1,500 head of sheep, and I don't know many horses. I guess nobody knew how many horses they had. Fred H. Spears was renting the place from the National Trust Company, and he told me once that he was paying $10,000 a year. Well, a year back in 1928, he must have made very good, because the price of cattle was very good, and then he had rented so many parcel of land that was broken under cultivation on the ranch, and this at on share. I do believe that he didn't make very good. That fall we trashed 46 days. When harvest was ready, Spears bought a 28 inches Goodison separator and an Allis Chalmer tractor, and we were sent out threshing. We had 8 teams, no pitchers, and wherever we trashed, we just didn't matter what kind of grain we trashed, we just camped right in the field. We had our own cook car with two cooks, and we had also had our bunk car. And when we'd move from farm to farm, we just double up. We'd have 2 teams on each car, and the other 4 teams would have 2 wagons apiece or racks to pull. This was the longest trashing run that I ever had, 46 days. We start sometime in September, early part of September, and finish in November. Altogether, we lost about a week's work on account of some snow that we had, which melted and disappeared in no time at all. It was a wonderful fall, dry and not too hot, just right for harvest. I've just been thinking about Mr. Nels Brunel's story about having broken horses for the army at the time of the Boer War. He must have been awful young. I was warned by some of the people in Paiute that sometime he was not too accurate in his dates, but I do believe that the rest of his story must be, I'm sure that he didn't make it too strong. It just, I do believe that he just gave the facts, except for this breaking horse for the army in at the time of the Boer War, which actually would have been too young. That would have been impossible. Usually on the ranch we used to put up hay, starting about on the 1st of August, and for a whole month, a big crew, about 15 men, and we'd have about over 50 stacks in the way of hay. Those stacks would measure the following spring about 9 tons. Very good hay. Most of it was Timothy.